afternoon and welcome to Liberty Forum. I'm John Bryant, your host, and we have a terrific show lined up for you today. How many of you are, I'm curious, just tuning in for Mel's Bar and Grill? I'll tell you what, I almost missed changing the time here, and for some reason the computer got it, and that's a mystery to me, a very big mystery. How the computer knew this new earlier time change to daylight savings time, but it knew. So anyway, I'm here. I hope you're here, and because we've got a great guest today. And before we join him, I need to mention that because of Kevin, or actually Brett's call last week from Ohio. And he was kind enough to leave contact information for him. It looks like we are going to have an excellent guest for several sessions, hopefully a whole lot of sessions. His name is Bill Elwood, and he has got some understanding in a very comprehensive sense of most everything we've looked at, starting hopefully next week, if not in the very near future. But I hope that we can connect for next week just about the time, you know, I think you're going to slip and do a filler show or a rerun or something. Things come together, and it did here this week at the last minute. Our guest today is Randall Kelton. Randy was with us, I think, in the beginning of September, and he has been delving into the whole notion of holding officials accountable for their actions. And we all know that officials, especially in the enforcement area of the law, whether it's a cop or a judge, have basically run amok in a lot of places. It doesn't mean everybody, but a whole lot of them are just used to doing exactly what they please, no matter what that is, because they've got immunity, it seems. Well, Randall has been working. He's basically got a fertile mind and is fearless. He's got a great sense of humor too. He's a guy who's quite an inventor in his own right and an entrepreneur, but he's turned his focus now toward this notion of getting recourse and remedy for the wrongdoing of especially those in government. And he's been focusing actually on the grand jury. Let's just see if Randall has joined us, because most of us think of a grand jury as, you know, connected with the ham sandwich, and that the prosecutors can get a ham sandwich indicted. Well, Randall is discovering some things about the grand jury, and I think you'll find this extremely interesting, so stick with us. Randall, have you joined us? Are we on? Oops, turn this up a little bit. Randall, are you back there? Okay, well, he should join us any moment now. If not, Melody or Nicholas, I've got a phone number we can use just to contact him. He'll call back though. And hello.
Okay, we're on.
Nicholas, that's a good way to start, actually. Attention. Randall, welcome.
Okay, I can barely hear you.
Okay, that'll come up, I hope. If it doesn't, mention it again. Okay. Welcome. Hey, by the way, I mentioned some of the things that you're doing with the grand jury, at least in general. We're going to get some specifics here with Randall Kelton tonight. And so, Randy, you've been making some headway here on using the grand jury for recourse and remedy, right?
Yes, I have. It's getting pretty interesting. I've been
say the least.
Studying the legal system the last 25 years. I figured out a long time ago something was terribly wrong and went to work researching it. And about 15 years ago, I produced a document I called the Frog Farm Conspiracy. And it demonstrates how, at least in Texas, most every step from arrest to trial is presently practiced in the criminal justice system. It's not only wrong, but it's very specifically against particular law. However, knowing that was simply not enough.
Yeah.
Knowing it didn't fix it, and taking the information and giving it to the people who were misusing the system, that didn't fix it either. So I spent the last 10 years working through about every possible remedy I could imagine. And I finally got to the right one. It's the grand juries.
And what most people have kind of dismissed the grand jury as being totally controlled by the prosecutor, right?
Oh, that is a fallacy. Prosecutors wish they could control a grand jury. There's only one reason to have a grand jury. Prosecutors maintain that we don't need grand juries. Grand juries decide who to prosecute. I should do that. I'm learned counsel, and these grand jurors are just ordinary people.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that's got to prosecute it, so I should be the one to determine whether there's sufficient cause. Well, our founders lived in a system where a prosecutor could do that. And when they put this country together, they said, that is not going to happen. The prosecutor, even the best and most well-intended, cannot be trusted to make good and unbiased decisions. So they strictly forbade a prosecutor to do that. And set up a grand jury for the single purpose of protecting the people from the prosecuting attorney.
And they didn't even have the Bar Association at that time, did they?
I'm sorry.
At least, I was going to say the system really didn't have an active bar attorney, at least in this country at that time, did they?
Well, we had private prosecutors. But a private prosecutor was generally hired by the aggrieved person. It was similar to how it was done in civil courts. You'd hire an attorney to prosecute, and the other guy, the aggrieved, would, and the other person would hire an attorney to protect them. But the prosecution couldn't commence just on anyone's say-so. I could go in and file a complaint, but the person wouldn't be required to stand and answer to that complaint except by presentment of a grand jury. And in the 1860s, when they put in state prosecutors, they strictly forbid a prosecuting attorney from initiating a prosecution. A prosecutor is the only person forbidden to swear out a criminal complaint. He can swear out a complaint, but not in a case that he'll prosecute. Because we can't have they don't want prosecutors being the accuser and the prosecutor. The state can't be the accuser and the prosecutor.
Right.
Some credible citizen must file a complaint. You know, when a policeman files a criminal complaint, he doesn't do that as a policeman. He does that as a citizen just like you or me. No more authority to file that complaint than you or I. So we can all do it. And the thing about the grand jury is, grand juries sit for a good amount of time. Now, if anybody's who's ever been called to jury duty, you know it's hard to get a jury to sit for 2 hours for a traffic ticket. How do you get a grand jury to sit for 6 months?
Really?
It, for prosecuting attorneys and judges, it is a beast getting a grand jury seated. The notion that they could handpick a grand jury is a fallacy. These judges wish they could handpick a grand jury. It's miserable for them to get one seated. And once they do, they don't want anybody messing with them. The problem the prosecutor has is once he gets them seated, is these grand jury members actually think what they're doing is important. They think their decisions matter. And they make their own decisions. You've probably heard the old saw that any prosecutor worth his salt could get a ham sandwich indicted.
Right.
Well, that's true. The problem the prosecutor has is not getting a ham sandwich indicted. It's keeping the ham sandwich from getting indicted. When a citizen goes to the grand jury and presents one of these prosecutors' public officials, keeping that ham sandwich from getting indicted is a beast. And for the most part, prosecutors just can't get it done.
Well, it'd be interesting, Randy, to see what kind of information and background material that you have to go in with to the grand jury to begin to impress them.
Oh, piece of cake. If you have knowledge that someone has violated a law, you not only have a right, you have a duty to notify the courts that the crime's been committed. And because you have this duty, when you file a complaint, the police protect you. They need you as a partner in their fight against crime. So if I go in and file a complaint against some no-good rock criminal, and he says about two words to me, they're going to be coming down, jerking him up, throwing him in prison. They're going to protect me at all costs. Because if they don't, the next guy's not going to testify. So they protect you. The problem they have is when you charge public officials with violating laws just like they charge you with it, they still have to protect you. If anybody does or says anything to me when I'm there to file criminal charges, I take out my cell phone, dial 911.
Huh.
Just give me a half ounce of BS, and I'll be calling 911 asking for a policeman to come out there and arrest you. One thing I get a lot is when I go down to file complaints is a policeman will tell me, well, you know it's a crime to put a false statement on a government document. That always gets a 911 call. I call the police, tell them I'm down here to file these complaints, and this police officer here is threatening me. And he will honestly say, hey, I wasn't threatening you. I said, sure you were. No, I was just giving you advice.
Uh-huh.
Let me see your bar card. If you don't have a bar card, Bubba, you are threatening me.
Yep.
I want somebody down here to arrest you. This is the kind of position they're in. They can do nothing. When you file a complaint, if you state the facts clearly, without equivocation or exaggeration, state exactly what happened. From those facts, you can draw any conclusion you please. No one can hold you to account. So long as you state the facts clearly and truthfully, you're absolutely immune from any kind of retribution. And when you file a criminal complaint against a public official, it scares the bejesus out of them. Especially if you bypass the police and the magistrates and the prosecutors. You know, if you go in to file a complaint, they're going to tell you you have to file that with the police department. They tell me it's their policy.
Yes.
And I tell them, screw your policy. I don't work for the police department. And then they say I have to file it with the magistrate. Screw the magistrate. If I give it to the police department, he's going to give it to the prosecuting attorney. The prosecuting attorney's going to throw it in the trash. If I give it to the magistrate, magistrate's going to give it to the prosecuting attorney. Prosecuting attorney's going to throw it in the trash. If I give it to the prosecuting attorney, he's going to throw it in the trash. So, screw all of them. I'm going straight to the grand jury. Last time I talked to a district attorney, telling him that I wanted to know when the grand jury met because I had criminal complaints against him, he insisted I file them with the sheriff's department. I told him, not in this lifetime. I'm going to file these directly with the grand jury. The only thing you get to decide is, are you going to try to interfere with me or not? And he did not try to interfere with me. Because consider his position. Tampering with the grand jury, trying to deny access to the grand jury to shield this public official from prosecution, everything goes downhill for them.
Oh, yeah. And it's outside their little circle of influence.
But I can't hear you.
And I can hear myself really well coming back the second time. So, Randall, what I said is it's outside their little sphere of influence. You know, the judge, prosecutor, bar association, bailiff, police, and so on.
Exactly. When you go straight to the grand jury, you bypass everybody. And the prosecuting attorney, he kind of guards the door for all these other public officials. And this is not some vicious conspiracy. The prosecutor feels like he has to work with these people. And he's actually afraid that the police will get upset with him. If the police are mad at him, they'll make his life miserable. Actually, that's not true, but he thinks that. The police are terrified of the prosecutor. And everybody's terrified of the judge.
Yeah.
In essence, all these people are terrified of each other. And they wind up, the prosecutor feels like he has to protect all of them. It's simply not true. In Texas, we have a special statute that tells a prosecuting attorney, when he's made known in any manner that a public official has violated a law relating to his office, he shall present the complaint to the grand jury. And I suspect every other state's going to have a similar law. We got a new prosecutor in Denton County, and I went to him with this, and he read it, and he said, "Well, that takes us off the hook." Right. No prosecutor should be put in a position to decide whether or not to prosecute somebody he works for.
Right.
What do you expect him to do? Shoot himself in the foot? So the statute's there. But even if you don't have the statute, anyone can go to a grand jury any time. Now, they're going to tell you about all their policies. Until you start collecting checks from them, you can tell them to screw their policies. You can do anything the law does not forbid you to do. And the law absolutely never forbids you to go to a grand jury. Ever. In Texas, we have, in the Code of Criminal Procedure, Article 20.09 says, "The grand jury shall examine into all criminal accusations that come to their knowledge by whatever means." And it means just exactly that. You can get a complaint to a grand jury by any means you can. Makes no difference. And anyone interferes with you, they're shielded from prosecution. Subject to criminal prosecution themselves.
So, Randall, it's conceivable that somebody sitting in jail could contact the grand jury? How would he do that?
Well, he doesn't. Absolutely. He can prepare an information request and send it to the clerk of the court. And the clerk of the court will be asking for the grand juror's names. The grand juror's names are never secret. They won't be secret in any state, because if you're brought before a grand jury, you have the right to challenge the panel.
Ooh.
You can't challenge a panel if you don't know who they are. I mean, they tell you who the panel is, one of them might be your ex-mother-in-law. So they have to tell you who they are, but they won't give you their home addresses. And that's reasonable. So,
yes.
The only address you have on them is the district attorney's office. This is great. So once the clerk gives you the names of the grand jury members, you make up a criminal affidavit. I have on my website, I've got a bunch of them. And they're taken right out of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure. It specifies how a criminal complaint is to be structured. Different states are different, but you can just go down to the courthouse and go through the criminal records and pull out either a criminal complaint or an information. An information looks exactly like a criminal complaint. It's produced by the attorney to make sure that one document before the court is absolutely correct on all points of law. Because the complaint is intended to be presented by a citizen, it's not held to a strict form. It essentially has to state that it runs in the name of the state, and that you have personal knowledge or reason to believe this person committed this crime based on these facts. Then you state the facts. And then you say, therefore, and before the making of this, preparing of this document, I so-and-so have reason to believe a charge that so-and-so committed this criminal act. It's pretty simple. The information will be absolutely basic. That is all that a complaint needs to have in it. If you make one that's real basic, it just says, I have reason, probable cause, or reason to believe this person committed this crime. Then you prepare a statement of probable cause. And if I'm going, everything I do is about the grand jury. When I stand in front of a judge and talk to him, everything I do, I'm thinking, what's going to play well in front of a grand jury? If a policeman gives me a hard time, before I answer him or say anything, I think, what's going to look good in front of a grand jury? Oh, and one thing, if they're real smart mouth and got an attitude, one thing I really love to tell them. You know, if you'll just bend over, well, I'll pull that wild hair to your behind for you, and you and I go back to treating one another like mature and responsible adults.
That
will always get a chuckle out of a grand jury. I'm always thinking, what's going to play well? What's going to lean them toward me? What's going to make him look bad? And when you give testimony, you can only give testimony to what's said. You can't testify to tone of voice. So whenever you get in front of these people, always think, everything's about the grand jury. That's all that matters. When I write a document, on my website I have a writ of habeas corpus everybody needs to read. It is the Frog Farm conspiracy written in the form of an argument to the court. And I've had people read it all over the country, and all of them tell me that so far every state that people have read it has said it's dead on. It's exactly what they do. In there I state, this is what they do, this is what the law says they're supposed to do, and this is the crime they just committed for not doing it. And walk right down from arrest to trial. If they violate one due process right of yours, you have a right to dismissal. But if you go into the judge and you make these arguments, he'll just blow them off. Then you got to take him to the appeals court, and you got to do all this dance with him. So I go in, and the first thing I do is file criminal charges against him. And then I go before the court and move to disqualify the individual because he's not a credible witness since he's a criminal. And if a public official commits a criminal act, they disqualify themselves, they lose jurisdiction. I attack them that way.
Which they probably didn't have in the first place, the jurisdiction.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear it.
We'll get this straightened out on the break, I hope. They probably didn't have jurisdiction in the first place, but this seals it, right?
Right, this nails them. If you just make an argument in court, a judge can make a judgment call. But if you file criminal charges outside the court, that's grounds to disqualify this guy, whether he gets indicted or not. You have criminal charges before him. Because if you go before a grand jury and they don't indict, we go before the next one, and the next one, and the next one. I don't generally use criminal complaints to fight a court case, because most of the times I go create the situations that I work with. I'm proactive. I go in and get them to violate the laws I want them to violate. And then I come back and land on them like a ton of bricks. And that's because I'm out trying to fix the system. If you have a case that is important to you and you try to do this, you're going to be outgunned. The reason being is when you try to get them to do something they're supposed to do and they don't do it, it's real important to you. It causes frustration, anxiety, stress, and it tends to activate all of your most base responses.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there with all these great ideas, you've got all these arguments lined out perfect, you walk in there and they poke your fear button and it all goes out the window.
Right.
So I go in and create a circumstance. Doesn't mean anything to me. I go in and ask to see the morning arraignment. In Texas, they never want you to see that. They'll tell me the judge says you can't see that. Okay, then go back there and arrest the judge. And they'll tell me they can't arrest the judge. I tell them, sure you can. Just go back there and throw the cuffs on him. Drag his butt to jail just like you would be. And then when they refuse to arrest the judge, then I call the police and ask them to arrest the policeman. Everybody gets all excited. And then I say, oh, don't worry about it, guys. I'll take this up in another video. Then I make up criminal complaints against the judge and the policeman, and I take them and give them to the prosecuting attorney. This is when I'm setting up a whole system. And to get practice, this is for practice. You see, I could care less about that hearing. The last one I went to, they called out a lieutenant, and he said, Mr. Kelton, do you mind if I ask why you want to watch that hearing? No, I don't mind, ask. Well, why do you want to watch that hearing? Entertainment. I want to watch it for entertainment. This is my form of entertainment. I like to watch these things. And he looks at me like, oh, you're not going to tell me, huh? That's right. I'm not going to tell you. It doesn't matter. I don't care what's going on in that hearing. I'm there to get the judge to violate a law so I can file a complaint with a district attorney. And I want it to be a tiny little one that's not important. In the end, it doesn't matter to me what they do to that judge. So I don't care. I want to give this to the district attorney because he's going to look at it and he's going to say, well, this is nothing. I'm not going to prosecute this. And he's going to throw it in the trash. Whether you have the same statute we do in Texas or not, if you file a complaint that's dead bang, and a judge not letting you see an arraignment hearing is dead bang, all hearings, all trials shall be public. That's out of federal, and every state constitution has it. This is so basic to law, there's no way they can get around it. So you got the judge dead bang violating a law. Now, constitutional right. You file it with the district attorney, he decides not to prosecute, which he does all the time. You charge him with shielding from prosecution. And you bring that charge before the grand jury and see what they think about it. I guarantee you, the first time you sit down in front of a grand jury, your whole idea about the legal system will change dramatically. You will say, holy moly, it's been here all the time. Especially when you bring a complaint to them against a public official. These grand jurors are people just like you and me. And I guarantee you, I tell you a story and you're incensed by it or you're frightened by it, grand jury's going to feel the same way.
Oh, that's
I have a friend
great.
Here who...
Hold up. And we'll be back in about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. Randall Kelton is our guest here on Liberty Forum.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar. Yeah.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Well, we continue here on Liberty Forum. I'm John Bryant, your host. Randall Kelton is our guest today with just a tremendous message. It's an original, too, as far as I'm concerned. I have not heard of anybody using the grand jury effectively. It's always been just sort of a mystery and something that we felt has been controlled totally by the prosecutor, but it's not that way. Randall has discovered... Randall, before we get into situation with your friend that you were beginning to tell us about, tell us how you've got a new website and you're doing seminars as well, right?
Yes. It's jurisimprudence.com.
Whoops. Having a little trouble hearing you now. But go ahead. Say that again.
It's jurisimprudence.com.
Juris?
Yeah.
And then?
J-U-R-I-S. I-M-P-R-U-D-E-N-C-E.com.
Okay. Juris and then improve?
It's Juris Imprudence.
Imprudence?
Yes.
Got it. Juris Imprudence. And .com. Very good. And you're doing seminars now?
Yes, I am. I'm doing them around Texas. I haven't done them out of state because what I've designed is designed specifically on Texas law. In these radio programs, I'm finding out people all over the country are having exactly the same problems. So as I get called for it, I'll go to the different states and work out the statutes that match the ones that I use in Texas so I can do these in other states.
Right. And someone else can do that, too. You know, if they get the general idea, they'll be able to mold it to their state, I'm sure.
Pardon me, I
so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I couldn't hear.
Go ahead, then. I interrupted you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll start doing them in more places. They're doing real well here. People are incredibly frustrated. They've been going before the courts and preparing well-structured arguments, and the courts just pay no attention. What this will do will change everything. It will put the courts in a position to where they have to consider the prospect of a grand jury for everything they do. I was in Johnson County. I'm filing criminal charges against the district judge for what he did in the court in a case I had nothing to do with. I was just watching. That's what I want the judges to have to worry about. Who out there is the ringer? When I file against him, he's looking out there thinking, who is this guy? Where'd he come from? What's he have to do with me? Not a thing. I'm just here to get you straight. Well, actually, I did have something to do with it. He just didn't know it. This is before the break. I was telling you about a friend of mine that went down and filed criminal complaints against a couple of sheriff's deputies.
Right.
To give you an idea of how powerful this is. They confiscated a piece of equipment that he owned because a ID tag was missing off of it. They were sent down to check to see if they had a report somebody was burying trash on this piece of property. Went down there, didn't see any sign of it, looks across the fence and sees this bobcat. And the cops thought, well, you could load trash, bury trash with that. And he went across and looked at it, found the plate missing, checked around, found out who owned it, called Steve down there. Steve come down there, and the first thing he will know is what the heck they're doing on his property. Where'd you get jurisdiction to come on my property? Told him, get the heck out of here. Well, they got all excited. He showed him the bill of sale, the ID plate that had been knocked off by a tree, but they made him load this thing on their trailer and took it back to the police department anyway.
Uh-huh.
So he filed aggravated robbery against them. That sounds outrageous. But he went before the grand jury, and he went before the grand jury. They let him because I had nailed the district attorney already. And they were afraid to try to interfere with it. So he presented this to the grand jury. And he told them that, you know, they saw that the ID plate was missing, but they had no jurisdiction to come on his property to start with. And because of that, they were criminal trespassers. And they forced him to load this thing with their hands on their guns. And the district attorney apparently did everything he could to keep the grand jury from indicting these guys. He said, well, they didn't pull that gun and point it at you, did they? He said, no, but they were armed and I wasn't, and that was enough. And there were eight women on the grand jury, and he said all of them were nodding their head in agreement. They didn't like that one little bit. They didn't indict these two guys, but they didn't no-bill them either. They passed it till the next time so they could get more information. Now these two deputies are sitting out there wondering not only if they're both of them been around a long time. So they're wondering not only are they going to lose their pension, lose their job, they might go to prison. Aggravated robbery is a big deal.
They might have to live under the same conditions the rest of the population has to.
Yeah, it's just like everybody else. And that's their problem. And you have to know every sheriff's deputy in the county, and I suspect every sheriff's deputy in every surrounding county knows all about this. There are two deputies doing what they do all the time, the kind of crap they pull every day. And now all of a sudden they're looking at their career to end. Tomorrow, the next day, next month, next time they pull somebody over, or any other policeman decides he's going to read somebody the Riot Act, he's going to say, wait a minute. What if this jackleg puts me in front of the grand jury? What are they going to think? And that is exactly the purpose of all this. I really don't care to get public officials indicted. Frankly, most of the time, because they hadn't done anything to me, I'm down there causing them problems, so I don't really have an axe to grind. But my real purpose is not to get rid of public officials. We could get rid of every public official we got, replace them all, we'd be in the same spot. My real purpose is to create the specter of a grand jury of my peers looking over your shoulder. So you want to play hardball with me, Bubba? You go explain it to the grand jury. See what they think about what you're about to do.
Well, Randall, it'll be interesting to see what the system comes up with in response to this.
I've been a long time digging and working out how to get to these guys. This is so basic to our form of government. Changing this is good. If they make any change here, they will disrupt the whole system. I'm using the exact same procedures they use. And how are they going to object when I come down there and make a complaint against one of them? When they try to come down and make any changes, everything's political. For them, this will be a political atomic bomb. There is no way they'll get that past our legislature. And I can almost assure you, none of them will be dumb enough to even try. The grand jury is sacred. It's always been held sacred. We just haven't used it. That, what I'm doing is the exact reason it was put there. Our founders designed it for this very purpose. Because they knew that you could never get a public official prosecuted with a public official deciding whether or not to prosecute him. So they put the grand jury there as a deterrent.
Right. The guy he works with.
And all we need to do is resurrect that deterrent. I'm looking at 6 months in Texas, and we'll have everything turned around. We only have to pop a district judge in every other county.
Yes.
And all the rest of them are going to say, whoa, hold on here. One indictment, your career is history. And I go before a grand jury, they don't indict. No problem. I go before the next one. And the next one, and the next one. You public official commit one crime, I can go after you. Generally, in small counties where a grand jury sets for 6 months, I got generally it's like 6 years on a official oppression. I got 12 grand juries to present before I run out of time. What are the odds that one of those grand juries is going to have a member on it whose son or daughter or grandson or niece has been mistreated the way you're telling them you were mistreated? And he is ticked off. And he convinced the grand jury to indict. You know, these guys are sitting out there knowing this grand jury is totally out of their control. Not only is the grand jury out of control, you're off limits. Nobody.
Randall,
go ahead.
I was going to say, most people are afraid. Either someone who's contemplating bringing a criminal complaint, or someone on the grand jury, for example. Do they know how protected they are?
Yes, they do. That's one in the indoctrination, because that's a natural fear of the grand jury. If I indict this guy, he's likely to come after me. If they let them know, you indict somebody, he will never speak to you. If he doesn't, go to prison immediately. So they are well protected. You never hear about a grand jury, anybody on a grand jury ever being messed with. They protect them like they're gods.
They may quit doing that.
Pardon me?
They may quit protecting them, or at least telling them that they're protected. You know, they're going to respond to this in some way.
If they do that, they can't get the criminals indicted.
That's true.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
They have to use these grand juries. And besides, I'm telling you, what is happening here, these guys are terrified of that grand jury. I went before, after Steve presented to the grand jury in Johnson County, they left the grand jury room and went up to the courtroom to hand in the indictments. And when they got up to the courtroom, I was sitting in there waiting for them. They handed in the indictments to the court. When they finished, the judge said, asked the foreman, does the grand jury have any more business? And he said, no, Your Honor, we don't. And I stood up and said, yes, you do. And when I did that, you could hear the tension grow in the room. The judge said, and who are you? And I told him. He said, what business do you have with the grand jury? Well, I have some criminal complaints against some public officials. And what officials are those? Well, this district attorney sitting here. This assistant district attorney. You, judge. A district judge upstairs, a couple sheriff's deputies, and various and sundry other public officials. Nobody said a word. That grand district attorney and assistant district attorney sat there frozen in place. They did not dare speak, and it was clear they were terrified of this grand jury. They were terrified of what they were likely to do. They saw
and, of course, the grand jury was picking up on that too, right?
Oh, yes, they were. They didn't miss a thing. When I pointed at the judge and I said, yeah, and even you, he froze in his tracks. When I finished, he was just sitting there. And he sat there, and he sat there. So I said, Your Honor, I have come to request audience with the grand jury. And he sat there, and he sat there. Again, Your Honor. I am here to request audience with the grand jury. And he sat there, and we all know what he was thinking. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? He has never been in this spot. He sees his career flashing before his eyes. He sees this arrogant jackass standing up there looking him right in the eye and calling him a criminal, and there is not one thing he could do about it. He does not dare. So I just turned to the grand jury and talked to them. Explained to them why I was there. Apologized to them for coming so late and doing it this way, but the last time I tried to file criminal complaints against the district attorney, well, he secreted those complaints from you. And the district attorney just cringed. And I said, and even his clerk here, she even lied to me about the date you were going to meet. And when
wow.
I said that, the district attorney
Typical.
Jumped up, walked through the bar and went behind me and was pacing back and forth back there. I turned around and looked at him, turned back and looked at this assistant district attorney, and I thought, I just let a cat out of the bag. The district attorney didn't know his assistant had lied to me about that. I bet the next time I go down there, she's not going to be there anymore. I already got one fired. There were two of them, and I got the other one fired a week or two before. And I asked the grand jury to make time to hear me. The next time they meet, they're going to allow me to give them a presentation for them to read the first day they meet. The second day, I'm going to come in, and they're going to ask me all sorts of hard questions.
I'll tell you what, you've had a dramatic effect already, Randall, I'm sure.
Yes. I had already presented this district attorney to the grand jury. I sent complaints to the grand jury at the district attorney's office, and he secreted them from them, from the grand jury. I found out when the grand jury was going to meet and then called the district attorney and got this assistant and asked her when they would meet. She gave me a day, and she said they would meet for 3 weeks. But I'd already found out they're meeting the next day. So I came down there, and she saw me. I walked in the courtroom. She turned up and saw me in the courtroom, and I thought she was going to vomit. They ran to the office and got those indictments, those complaints, and ran them down there to the grand jury. Grand jury called me in, and I presented the district attorney. And I told him, I don't care if you arrest, you indict him or not. And the foreman was real upset that I was presenting his district attorney. He said, well, if you don't care why we're, if we indict him or not, why are you here? I said, well, because I'm here. I'm sitting here in front of you telling you ugly stories about the district attorney, and he's out there in the hall. Don't dare show his face. Whether you indict him or not, my purpose is served. He will never forget this experience.
What is the relationship?
One of her laws, with... Go think about this. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what's the relationship of the foreman to the prosecutor?
I can't hear you.
Is it someone that they kind of chum up to, or was it just his role that got him going that way?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble.
Oh, the foreman was kind of giving you a hard time there. The foreman of the grand jury.
He really has no role other than he's the representative who hands the indictments to the clerk. Other than that, and he presides over the meetings. He'll ask when they want to vote, but he has no real power.
Well, I'm sure that the they try to get someone to control the jury. I've seen that. In pettit juries.
Yeah, they try to get a guy who's... And that's why he was the one that would attack me, because he was the most powerful character. However, he didn't hurt me a bit. It was clear that he was incredibly concerned. He did not like it a bit that I was making allegations against his district attorney, but his sense of duty told him that he had to pay attention. He was afraid that he would find himself in a position to where he had to indict this district attorney, and he did not want to. That was great to see. If he had just been angry and not upset, it would have been different. But he was clearly and visibly shaken. That's the problem a prosecutor has with these grand jurors. They think what they do is important. But this guy was thinking he had to do what was right. But he didn't want to.
Take their job seriously, yep.
Yes, they took you. That's the main thing you will find. These guys take their job deadly serious. Especially when you come in making an allegation against a public official. That's when they really shift in gear.
Well, it's pretty unusual. At least it has been.
Yes. Nobody does it.
No.
So, and these public officials, above all, want to hide that from you, because they do not want you to know what we found out. Their weak underbelly. And all these, if you're worried about a grand jury, about going to them, and you may be worried about police harassing you, or if somebody out there has police harassing them, you go to the grand jury. If he does something rotten to you, you go to the grand jury on it. You will become taboo immediately. In Wise County, Texas, where I live, a friend of mine on the sheriff's department, I know about half of them, came to me, and by the way, I get a lot of respect from them. They don't fear me a bit. The ones who know me don't fear me a bit, because they know I'm not after them at all. This guy told me that, asked me what I did to the sheriff lately. Sheriff, and I said, I didn't do anything to him lately. Why? So, well, we had roll call, and he asked here who here knew Randall Kelton. About half of them raised their hands. He said, look, you are not to stop him. You are not to cite him. And whatever you do, don't put that SOB in my jail. They are cowards. The police with the big mouth, the bad attitudes, they're always the cowards.
It's a big gang, actually.
When I get the policeman who is cool, calm, and professional, my little warning buzzers go off and say, do not screw with this guy. He is a pro. He won't do anything stupid. He'll eat you alive. The ones with the big mouths and bad attitudes, piece of cake. I go before the grand jury on one of them, they hit the road. And I assure you, first time you go before a grand jury, you will not be harassed, not one little bit. That puts an end to that nonsense. I've been doing this for 25 years. Nobody messes with me. The word is everywhere I go, to leave him alone. A friend of mine, his son was a sergeant on the Tarrant County Sheriff's Department. And he came to my friend and he said, "Hey, what's Randy Kelton's picture doing up in the grand jury room?" Well,
what?
The sign says, "If you see this guy, call security." And all I had ever done was file criminal charges with the grand jury. They were terrified. When you file on them, their career's in jeopardy. You know, you get people telling them, "Well, these are my rights, and I'll sue you for everything you own."
Sure.
I never tell one of my anything like that. I never tell a public official what my rights are.
Right.
I never tell them what they're supposed to do. Because generally, I'm setting them up to do something they're not supposed to. So I can nail their hides. The last thing I'm going to do is tell them I'm going to nail their hides. The way I want them to find out is while I'm dialing 911. It works much better. They're used to people threatening them and telling them what they're going to do. I never tell them.
Randall, I can see this is going to be a huge incentive for people to learn the law and to actually spend time at it, because in the past, it was like an exercise in frustration. Guaranteed.
This is why I do the seminar. I go through points of law with the seminar, but more than that, the one thing I try to impart is that this fear you have of going before the system, and this idea that you have to know all the laws, you don't. All you have to be is an irate citizen. You go before that grand jury, they don't expect you to be an attorney. They will believe you way before they're going to believe any stiff-necked attorney that comes in there.
Right. That's...
Because you're like them. They're not part of this group, and that's the thing you'll find out. That grand jury is not one of these public officials. He's not a member of the group. They're not some of the good old boys. They're real people just like you and me. And you tell them a story that would, if it would infuriate me, it's going to infuriate them.
Yeah.
And you'll be amazed at the response you get from them. And that's why I suggest take the high road. Go in and get them to violate a minor law. If you'll go on my website and read that writ of habeas corpus, that means you're going to have a break, right?
Yeah, in about 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
Read that writ of habeas corpus. It'll give you all kinds of laws that they're going to break. But it'll also give you reason why they shouldn't do these things.
Okay.
And then you can go
before
them and say, look, if they do this, look what it screws up. Look how it screws everybody around. And you can lay that thing down in front of them. And if you go in and accuse a policeman of not following due course and you lay that writ down in front of them, when they get to read that writ, they're going to be bad motor students.
Okay.
That writ
well,
was not written for the courts. It was written specifically for the
Randall, we're being run over by break music, so
okay.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Randall Kelton.
To the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government, if you appropriate our sacred symbols for paranoid purposes and compare yourselves to colonial militias who fought for the democracy you now rail against, you are wrong. How dare you call yourselves patriots and heroes? If you say the government